Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Cast of the Past, the time traveling podcast, where best friends get together to talk about old games in a new light. But in the month of October, we talk about spooky games. My name's Josh, and I'm joined with...
Ray. And I'm Tom.
There is no Tom, only Zool. Yes, today we are talking about the 2009 video game movie adaptation spin-off sequel, Ghostbusters the Video Game.
Let's just get the easiest joke out of the way. Does bustin' make you feel good?
Bustin' makes me feel good.
I don't think anything is better than bustin'.
Bustin'.
Okay, that joke's out of the way. Let's get a personal elephant just out in the open.
Okay.
How much do you love Ghostbusters?
I love Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters, the first movie, is one of my favorite movies of all time. I would probably put it in my top three favorite comedies ever made. I think the chemistry between the four characters is perfect. It's beautiful. It's up there with like Back to the Future in 80s classic films. The sequel has its moments. The characters still have their wittiness to them. They still have great chemistry with each other and stuff like that. After that, not so much. I love the cartoon. I will say that too. I did love the cartoon. What about you, Tom?
Okay. So you seem very steeped in Ghostbusters media. Here's my take on Ghostbusters. I did not see the first Ghostbusters until I was 20 years old. I think it's one of the funniest, most original movies ever made. I think the first Ghostbusters is a hit out of the park. Great film, great comedy. Everything that has been positively said about it is earned. Ghostbusters 2, I did not watch until two nights ago, and like, it's fine.
Yeah,
you know, it's more Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of its plot contrivances to make them underdogs again, the whole like, oh, everyone thinks they're frauds and the city sued them, blah, blah. I think that's really lazy.
I like the black and gray suit, like the darker suits. I did like
right
those.
Yeah, that's fine.
Rick Moranis really was the star of that second movie.
You know, they turned me into a dog once, so I really appreciate their help. But anyway, it's fine. I have no familiarity with the real Ghostbusters cartoon, mm-hmm. or Extreme Ghostbusters, or mm-hmm. the Ghostbusters comic book series, or Ghostbusters Answer the Call, directed by Paul Feig. And I don't honestly know if I'm going to watch Ghostbusters Afterlife. I am just sitting down to talk about this as a guy who very much enjoys the first Ghostbusters movie. Now, I want to talk about this because last week we did Alien Isolation and we went over the history of the film franchise. And you mentioned, you were like, well, we're not here to talk about the movies. But I think we can't escape the legacy of the Ghostbusters movies because you said casually and so many people online were like, this video game is basically the third movie. This is the mm-hmm. third movie that should have been. Like, you yeah. can't escape the legacy of the movies when talking about this game. That's why I wanted to get it out of the way. So, Josh.
Yes.
Let's do that nitty gritty.
Ghostbusters 2009, made by a company called Atari?
I think I've heard of them.
That's the one that Soldier Boy owns, right?
Did they invent Pac-Man?
I don't know. I thought they were pretty new. But anyway, directed by Drew Hayworth, writers of the game, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, and a couple other guys. No, it's Flint Deli, John Platton, John Melcrier, and Patrick Hagerty. The fact that Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis wrote this, the fact that you have not one, not two, but all four of the original Ghostbusters in to voice their characters, which is unheard of when it comes to a different media like this. Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, Ernie Hudson, and Bill Murray. Let's not forget Annie Potts is in this. Brian Doyle Murray is in this. William Atherton is in this.
Max von Sydow returns as the voice of Viggo the Carpathian. They yep. literally got everybody who was alive, more or less.
Yeah.
Sigourney Weaver was going to be in this game. Talk about a tie-in between last week's episode and this week's. She was interested and she was going to appear, but they couldn't adequately write Dana into the game. So, they just dropped it.
So this was released on Windows, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, PSP, Wii, Xbox 360, Xbox One, and the PlayStation 4, and the Nintendo Switch.
Yes, there was a remastered version that came out in 2019 as a 10-year anniversary celebration of this game's release.
Tom, this was your first time playing Ghostbusters the video game.
Yes, and by that lead-in, I assume this is not your first time.
This is not. I have played this game a lot before.
Mm. So tell me about it. Tell me about your first time, your second time, your third time.
Well, I remember when it first came out, I remember seeing a lot of things online for the game. And it was like, oh, this is a new Ghostbusters game. It's coming out and it looks, you know, pretty good. It looked very dark and gritty. You know what I mean? Because it was around that time where everything had to be dark and gritty.
Yeah, post 9/11, baby.
Yeah. And when I saw some of the footage, I was like, man, this looks really good. It looked a lot like Dead Space. And that's one thing that, you know, when I took away from it, I was like, man, like there's no HUD. Everything was controlled from your backpack, very similar to the way that Dead Space was. I was like, man, like I like what they're doing. I like what they're going. And the fact that everyone in the reviews was talking about how great it was to use the proton pack, how it made you feel like a Ghostbuster. And it did. Like, you go through the library at the beginning of the game. You fight Stay Puft at the beginning of the game. And it's like, oh my God, like you're hitting all those pieces. You're in the hotel. You're going after Slimer. All of these things. Walking around the firehouse, like it felt like you were in those movies, and it was great. Like you play the character as the new hire, the rookie, I guess they call him nonstop. You don't speak. You are the silent protagonist. But yeah, it is. I loved the game. There's some parts that drag a little bit in this, but. No, we can get into that then. But I want to know, Tom, what about you? What about your time with Ghostbusters?
I remember when this came out, and I remember the hype around it. But I just didn't touch it because at that time I hadn't even seen the first Ghostbusters movie, which a thing I was hiding from a lot of my friend group because I was like, I can't let them know. I played this for this episode, despite the fact that for several years I have had a copy of the Xbox 360 Ghostbusters game that friend of the show Mark had lent me, and I finally did play for this episode. And I think that its existence is pretty remarkable because just at the moment, I am struggling to think of any other example where, you know, I'm familiar with a couple instances where, like, you know, a certain movie franchise couldn't continue, but the makers made a comic book continuation of planned storylines, you know? This, to my knowledge, and maybe I'm completely wrong, I can hear people yelling at their podcasts already, but this is like the first time I'm aware where a major franchise could not materialize a part three, you know, a continuation, yeah. And the original creators were like, this is the medium we've always needed. Now, I don't know how much of the development of the original Ghostbusters you're aware of, but this whole thing originates from Dan Aykroyd, the wackadoo creator of Crystal Skull Vodka, the guy who legitimately believes in aliens and also legitimately believes that 9/11 stopped any possibility we had of interacting with aliens. But way back in the late 70s, Dan Aykroyd came to director Ivan Reitman and was like, I have a script about paranormal ghost hunters who basically like are like firemen but for extinguishing ghosts. And Ivan Reitman is like, this is a great idea, but the kind of sci-fi fantasy elements are too heavy. Why don't you make it about a bunch of working schlubs in New York? And Dan Aykroyd was like, okay. And they whittled the script down to the movie we know today about a bunch of smart but slobbish lovable dopes who open their own business and start busting ghosts. We had the sequel, we had the cartoons, but this video game, this is about the Ghostbusters dimension hopping. This is about them fighting like literal demons and demigods and stuff like this. Harold Ramis and Dan Aykroyd, the writers, literally said that this became an outlet for them to get everything that they didn't get to do in the first two games.
Movies.
To just bring those to life. Yes, the first two movies, you are correct. But to bring them to life, it was a huge outlet for all those ideas.
I think that's awesome, though, because, you know, when you think about what you can do now in movies, you know, with CG and all that kind of stuff, or if you make an animated film, you have so much more freedom to do whatever you want to express and show off everything that you can get in your imagination. And now gaming, you know, allows you to do that, but also lets you participate in it as well.
So Josh, what did you think about the gameplay mechanics of this game?
I really liked it. Like I said, it was a over-the-shoulder, third-person action adventure. There was some things that were a little, I don't know, like the puzzle elements to it, where you had to shoot the strings of goop and stuff like that. That kind of was a little boring, but I love the parts where you had the PKE meter and you're walking around in first person trying to track down the ghosts and stuff. I love that. It added a little bit more of a horror element to the game because you didn't know what was going to happen, what was going to jump out at you. It gave you a little bit more of like a detective type thing too. Like you were investigating as well, not only just fighting the ghosts, but you were also, you know, investigating what's happening. Why is this going this way? And finding collectibles at the same time with it.
This to me was like the child of Luigi's Mansion and Gears of War. And the Gears of War influences are super obvious to see. It's over the shoulder, third person gameplay. The sprint button, when you press B to sprint, it literally flows back into that kind of detached handheld camera while your character kind of like shuffle runs left to right. You know, this coming out so many years after the first Gears of War, possibly the same year that Gears of War 2 came out. I have to track the data on that one. But this, clearly the developers looked at that and said, that's what we want. I gotta be honest with you. The ghost fighting slash catching mechanics got a little dragged out and not fun, especially when you're in an arena fight where you're dealing with more than one ghost at once. Like, many sections of this game take place within kind of closed off claustrophobic rooms, whether you're in the hotel at the beginning of the game and the kind of opening level, you're in the New York City library, things like that. You're in these tight, cramped spaces. And the thing about Gears of War is that 9 times out of 10, the set pieces play out in big, open environments where you have room to move, room to reposition, and this game just confines you. And the fact that, like, the gameplay, I mentioned Luigi's Mansion, it's aim your device at a ghost and, you know, shoot it until its health is low and then drag it into your capture device. But, like, where Luigi's Mansion, it's a much more simple and intuitive kind of, like, drag the sticks in time with the ghosts. Here, it's oh, shoot the ghosts, then slam the ghosts, then pull the ghosts. It's like a bop it, shoot it, slam it, drag it, bam it. And like, if you're fighting one ghost, there's another ghost that'll attack you and knock you down, and then you have to wait on the ground for another Ghostbuster to come and get you. It's just, I found the gameplay very frustrating in this game, considering what it was trying to do all at once.
What did you think of the story?
Okay, so this game takes place in 1991, 2 years chronologically after the events of Ghostbusters 2. And the first thing that I could not help but notice in this game is that it opens with like a security guard in a museum, and he's watching his security monitors, but he's also watching a commercial for the Ghostbusters, right?
Yeah.
And it's basically a video game recreation of the commercial from the first movie. Except Zedmore is not in it. Winston Zedmore is not in the commercial. Now, at this point in the Ghostbusters timeline, it's been 7 or 8 years since they opened. And in Ghostbusters 2, they have a brand new commercial where Annie Potts and Rick Moranis play like a couple who are like, oh no, there's ghosts. Who are you gonna call? Ghostbusters. Like, and Zedmore's in that commercial. But this game, it does, like, I've always felt that Zedmore was kind of done dirty. I'm just gonna say this. I'm a Zedmore stan because I don't know if you knew this, and I'm sorry to get back into the movies, but again, I think the movies are important this episode. So the history of Zedmore as a character is that they wrote that role for Eddie Murphy, and he was gonna do it. But then Eddie Murphy dropped out, but they were committed to having a black man play a fourth Ghostbuster. But the more and more people they auditioned, they started reducing the quality of the character. Ernie Hudson has said in interviews that when he originally went in, Winston was supposed to be a high-ranking former Air Force member who had a lot of experience and was like kind of like the military leader of the group. But by the time he got cast and they whittled it down, it was what he was in the first movie. He was like, look, if there's a paycheck, I'll believe anything you tell me, you know? And, you know, so he's kind of a weaker character. And then this game, he's not even worthy enough of being in the commercial at the beginning. And I'm like, why are you doing Winston dirty? I'm sorry I'm hung up on this, but, like, that really bothered me. I'm sorry. It just is like, well, where's Winston? But anyway, look, I wanted to talk about the story. I know you're a big Ghostbusters fan. I know a lot of listeners are probably coming to this being like, yeah, Ghostbusters. I'm not in this in any way to poop on anybody who cherishes this as, like, the third movie, a proper sequel, whatever. But look, I was beyond underwhelmed by like everything about this, because this wasn't a new Ghostbusters story. This was just like a greatest hits of Ghostbusters references that all built up towards just like, hey, do you remember a guy we vaguely referenced in the first movie? Well, it turns out he was the big bad all along. And he's just been unleashing everything you've already seen. There's a few new monsters, but it's like, you know, here's Slimer again. We're in the hotel again. Here's the library ghost again. But you find out what her backstory is. Okay, great. Here's the Stay Puffed Man again. Like, we can't escape the Stay Puffed Man. And then in the and here's you know, Vigo again. Even though, like, listen, I had a lot of fun walking up to the Vigo painting and being like, interact and listening to him say funny lines. But the Vigo painting was destroyed at the end of Ghostbusters 2. There's no logical reason for it to be in this game. But they throw it in there so they could be like, oh, hey, the slime's back. Vigo again. What? It's all now that's what I call Ghostbusters, you know, instead of an actual new Ghostbusters story. And it was a big for me. I talked a while. I'm sorry. Josh, what's your take on the story?
So, for the longest time, I always kept saying, it's like the third Ghostbusters movie. And for the longest time, going into it, yes, it really does. It does feel like it would be a traditional sequel to those films. Playing it again now in 2021... I don't see it as a sequel. I don't see it as the third Ghostbusters movie. I see it as, like you said, a greatest hits of Ghostbusters. I see it as Ghostbusters, the video game. If they were to make a video game about the Ghostbusters, what would it be like? Insert this. Same way as if there was an Indiana Jones game, you don't think that there's not going to be any callbacks to other Indiana Jones titles? You know what I mean? Any other Indiana Jones movies or anything like that? There would be. This is a video game based off of a movie franchise. Is it a sequel? It could consider it, possibly, but this is the Ghostbusters video game. That's it. And I think it did a very good job with it. Like you said, you know, in the Museum of Natural History, in the hotel, you know, one of the coolest parts was leading up to the spider lady. I thought that was great. I thought that was great. The whole backstory behind all of that and, you know, the fight inside of the actual spider nest, you know, to going into another dimension and fighting a demigod. I mean, it was good.
The new stuff is great. I wish it had just been the new stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm coming down, just personally. I know you have to put the Stay Puft guy on the packaging to sell it, because that's what people remember. But I wanted the franchise to move forward. And
it's
every
one of those
time,
things, though, where you have to give the long-running fans of the series something. You know what I mean? You have to give them the nod, right? Like, listen, do you remember this? That's great. And that's the thing. That whole everything that was like the first movies happened in the first level of the game. And then after that, it's all new.
But it makes a bad first impression. I'm just going to say, I'm not going to lie to you. I at one point considered quitting this game because I was like, am I just doing 1+2 over again? Like, I like these movies. I've watched them. I don't need to play a longer version of them where they're like, Slimer's back, but how? We're in the hotel again. Isn't that weird? Oh, I got slimed again. I'm like, okay, what are we doing here? You know, like, yeah. It was a little bit of like a roadblock. But something else I wanted to throw out here, and it's just because it's Spooky Games Month and we're in continuity with previous episodes we filmed. Last week, you critiqued Alien Isolation by saying Amanda Ripley was not an engaging character who didn't have an interesting arc or anything. The player character of this game is literally a nondescript mute who... It's almost entirely pointless that they're there. You are the new employee of Ghostbusters who doesn't even have a name. Their jumpsuit says rookie, and they look like the most generic white guy who has ever been assembled, and they don't talk. They mime, you know, they do like funny faces or funny hand gestures. I know that at one point there was a script for Ghostbusters 3 that was going to have a new generation of Ghostbusters take over. And for a long time, it was like Steve Carell and Paul Rudd, like, we're going to be a new, you know, lineup of Ghostbusters. And this seems like it took that idea, but they couldn't... I don't understand why this game doesn't have a create a character system. I truly don't. I don't understand why they can't... Like, if they have to be mute, that's fine. There are plenty of great video games where the main character doesn't talk, but... It's just the fact that it's the most vanilla guy of all time. And the game doesn't even focus on him. The game is rightfully interested in the four main characters who... The magic and chemistry are still there. You know, Murray, Ramis, Aykroyd, Hudson, they all have it. You could tell they're having fun. The presence of the player character, it doesn't ever feel not awkward, you know?
Yeah.
Do you agree? I mean, I don't know if you agree, agree?
There is the times where you are working with each one of them individually, right? And it's pretty much just them talking to themselves. Which, okay, like, but how do you do it in a way, like, do you pick to play as one of the characters then if you're not going to do the silent protagonist? But if you do, there's a lot of parts in the game where they split up. But, like, do you say, like, maybe for this mission, you're playing as Egon. This mission, you're playing as Spangler. This, you know what I mean? Like, maybe, no, Spangler is Egon. yeah, you know, you're playing as Ray, or you're playing as, you know, Winston. Like, it, I don't know.
Honestly, that would add to a lot of replay value, you know? Like, you have to go through the game multiple times as each combination of Buster. You know, that could... add to a lot of, like, see what you missed, see what storylines or conversations you missed. That could be better. But, you know, overall, the whole plot basically hinges on the fact that, as I mentioned, Ivo Shandor, however you want to pronounce it, the architect who was mentioned in Ghostbusters 1, he basically built the building that Dana lived in and that Gozer appears in at the top of, you know, where they have the final confrontation in Ghostbusters 1. This random architect who was a throwaway line is like, oh, this guy, he was obsessed with the occult. He built this building. He's now the big bad of this game. And he's summoning these demigods and all the enemies of Ghostbusters past in order to fuel his campaign to truly unleash the supernatural forces of darkness and become a god. But throughout the game, you persevere and you end up defeating him and save the day. And, you know, it's, again, it's fine. I got a good chuckle at the very end where, you know, they all cross the streams again, because we got to cross the streams again. But you get Egon at the very end. Shandor, the antagonist, goes, I'm a god. And Egon goes, we eat gods for breakfast. And they cross the streams and kill him. And then after everything is, like, dissipated, Ray goes, we eat gods for breakfast? And Egon's like, I thought it was a good line. Did you like it? I don't know. Was it too much? And Ray's like, no, I dig it. Like, again, that's just like the magic of their chemistry. You know, this is like a great ensemble. But overall, that's just basically it. And, you know, it sets it up. There was a game we were talking about. Oh, it was Jedi Academy, where, like, kind of the end leaves you on, like, and so these brave heroes will go on many more adventures, but we're not going to see them right now. You know, like, it's left up to what happens in the future. But top to bottom, how did you feel about the storyline?
The story was fine I thought it was fun at times. I was playing really to get to the next cutscene, to see these characters interact with each other, because that's what I cared about most. I cared about the characters, and that's what kept me coming back to the game. And I thought that was great. It was one of those things that's like, I'm going to do everything in my power to keep going through this game because I love the chemistry. I love where the story's going. I love seeing who's going to appear next. And then all of a sudden, Walter Peck comes in and you're like, you son of a bitch. Like, and it's so
dickless
good.
Over here.
But the thing is, like, they all five of them, six of them did not lose a beat. Like, they were just all so perfect still. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the beginning of the game was a rehash of the first movie, 1.5 films. But like, the rest of it was good. It was great. Like, it was fun, and it was exciting to see what was going to happen next. Where were we going to go? What is this story unfolding into? And like, it gets a little crazy and it gets a little big, but that's the thing. That's what you can do with video games. Overall, I give it a thumbs up.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of the four main characters, while they do have magic in the cinematics and in the line readings, I want to talk about the AI. So as you mentioned, it's your player character playing at times with various combinations up to all four of the Ghostbusters. And I got a lot. And I gotta be honest, the AI in this was so inconsistent.
Oh my god.
Just in
yeah.
that, like, at the beginning of the game, I felt like they were just playing the game for me. They were catching every ghost and handling every problem, and I could just, you know, sit back and just chill. I could, you know, I was like, all right, thanks, guys. Thanks for picking up the slack. But then, you know, a level later, they're all getting killed instantly and you have to go revive them.
Yep.
But they're never reviving you. And I was just like, what the hell? I wasn't even playing on the hardest difficulty, but they were either so helpful that I didn't feel like I was playing, or they were helpless babies. What about you?
Yeah, I thought that they were very fragile. I found myself going through and picking them up a lot and reviving them. And there were times where I got knocked down and I was like, okay, anybody? Anybody at all? Like, okay, now I'm here. All right, boom, now I'm right back down again. It's like, come on. When it gets overwhelming in the game, it gets a little too frustrating because you're more worried about now picking up your partners than you are catching the ghost. And it's like, what do I like put all my power into right now? Do I worry about just getting everybody around, or do I just do it myself?
No, I totally understand. It was sometimes a struggle. I wonder what this game would be like if it had like online 5-person co-op.
Well, funny you say that, Tom. When the game originally came out on the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, there was online multiplayer.
Oh, but do you mean multiplayer or co-op? Because I want to know the distinction here.
Players can play online with up to 3 others in a variety of missions outside of the main storyline.
That's the distinction. You can't do this campaign in co-op. You can do missions. And that sounds fun. Don't get me wrong.
Well, hold on.
Oh.
The Wii version is the only platform to feature offline multiplayer, with the entire single player missions playable by 2 players in a split screen co-op mode.
I wonder if that's vertical or horizontal split screen, because that's a true difference maker.
It really is.
I can't think of anything that sounds more unpleasant than look. I'm telling you, I found this game a little rough on the mechanic side on a console with a full-blown controller, but playing this with a Wiimote and a nunchuck, oh, no thank you. No thank you.
That's why you play with the classic controller.
If it's enabled, okay, good. That's smart, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. I just, once again, though, you know, we talked about a long time ago, The Force Unleashed 2, the most definitive way to play The Force Unleashed 2 because it had the extra missions in it with Yoda. Or an upcoming game that we talk about, the most definitive edition of that game is going to be the Wii version of that game. Why is the Wii version the best version to play of a lot of games?
I don't get it. I truly don't. I presume, oh, this console's selling a lot. Save fun stuff for that. I don't know. That's an interesting thing to talk about, is what the Wii got and if it deserved it, you know?
Yeah.
In retrospect. Well, speaking of legacy, this stood as the last time that we saw the four core Ghostbusters united in a Ghostbusters-related project. Several years later, in 2016, we got the live-action film Ghostbusters, later known on home video as Ghostbusters Answer the Call, directed by Paul Feig, in which the original cast did appear alongside the new stars Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, Leslie Jones, and Kate McKinnon, but they did not play themselves. You know, Dan Aykroyd was like a taxi cab driver who said, "I ain't afraid of no ghosts." Ember Murray was like some kind of psychic skeptic. Ernie Hudson, he did something in the movie. I don't remember. And there was like a statue of Harold Ramis. I have not seen the film. I know it's got a complicated reputation, but what I am aware of it, if you take out the toxic components, is that Ghostbusters Answer the Call, its biggest flaw is that, you know, it tries to be an Apatowian improv-heavy comedy when that's not what these movies were ever based on. These movies were based on more solid joke writing, and the cast is not the problem. It's the method of delivery. Have you seen Ghostbusters Answer the Call, Josh?
No, I did not.
Okay. So we don't got any opinions on it. We're not here to, you know, tell you what to think, whatever, about that. But Josh, I just want to say that, like, playing this game just kind of cemented something that I have felt before, but I'm just going to say it. Ghostbusters, as in, like, the original film, it never needed sequels. Like the Brandon Fraser Mummy, like Home Alone, like Jaws, this is just one of those magical movies, you know, one of those catching lightning in a bottle moments where it's like, it's great that it has continued for fans. You know, it's great that there is more. But for me, I'm fine with Ghostbusters 1. I'm fine with The Mummy. I'm fine with Home Alone 1, you know. It's just like, because I just feel like nothing that I've ever interacted with has ever hit the highs of the first of any of these movies. Mm-hmm. And that's just for me. But what about you? What's your opinion with the long-term legacy of Ghostbusters?
I feel like the fact that the first movie had such, like, it hit. You know what I mean? It hit just that audience, the perfect timing. Same way that Back to the Future does, right? People go crazy for Back to the Future. Now, that had a trilogy, but really, like, people talk about the first Back to the Future, right? That's, you know, Ghostbusters was the same way. Like, this was a movie that people just want to be a part of that world. And I think that's why it stays so relevant in pop culture, is because people love the way that the Ecto-1 looks, loves the way that the proton packs look. They, like, we want a proton pack as bad as we want a lightsaber, right? And it's one of those things, like, it's because it seems like it's not too far-fetched. Like, it seems like what you're watching could possibly happen. Could not. I'm not saying the ghost part. Like, I'm saying, like, the devices, right? Like, these things could happen in the world. And I think people love it because, like, they want to be a part of that world at the end of the day. And that's why it's just still ingrained in people's brains and in their hearts.
Like the DeLorean, you're saying, it has the kind of do-it-yourself practicality that makes it seem possible. You know, we saw an interesting cosplayer at Too Many Games 2021, and they were representative of the Keystone Ghostbusters, and they were dressed like a Ghostbuster, but their proton pack had a flux capacitor on it, you know, like Back to the Future. And it's an interesting merging of those two, where it seems like, I agree with you, the technology has such a interesting charm that seems like if you just found the right ways to combine all these things, it could be real. So I see what you're saying, and I respect that. I really do. Now, to be fair, I have heard that the Ghostbusters cartoon kind of takes the concept a lot farther than any of the movies ever did. They actually do play more with concepts of the supernatural and alternate dimensions and even, you know, some like religious gods. Mm-hmm. And that seems pretty interesting. Like live action movies, especially at the time, you could only do so much. But for what it's worth, you know, the first Ghostbusters will remain a classic in my heart. I truly, truly think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And if you go deeper than that, good for you. I'm not shaming you. Good for you. I just think that's where I'm good.
So throughout the game, there's a lot of references to the film, right?
Yeah.
To both films, I should say. But there is one reference in this game that you have to dig for it a little bit. But when you do and you find it, oh, it's so good. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Hit me. What is it? Because I may have missed it. I may have not even realized.
Between the museum level and the return to the Sedgwick Hotel, if you go over to the answering machine inside Ghostbusters headquarters and you listen to the answering machines, a couple messages in, there is a message and it's from Professor Jones talking about the Vigo painting and how it's a priceless artifact and it belongs in a museum. And like,
it belongs in a museum.
Yeah. It was a great, like, it's a great Indiana Jones reference inside there. Just that it's like nice. And it's like, it kind of sounds like Harrison Ford, but like, you know, it's not. But it's just really, this is Professor Jones.
But, I still want to know where did they get Vigo's painting from? Because they destroyed that.
I don't know. So at the end of the day, Tom, skip. Play complete master Ghostbusters the video game.
I have to say you should skip this game.
I believe this is our first skip.
Possibly from me. I don't remember the last time I said skip. I'm usually
fairly
generous.
I said skip during Ocarina of Time. Never mind.
Yeah, oh my god, you said skip Ocarina of Time.
But that was before we had the play and
the system.
Complete one.
Yeah. But like, this is my first outright skip, and again, I'm not trying to poop on any Ghostbusters fans' passion. It's just, look, for me, if you want good Ghostbusters content, the movies are there, and they're over, you know, at 2 hours apiece. If you watch Ghostbusters 1 and 2, you will be done faster than you will be playing this whole video game. And you'll get most of the same content. You will get the Stay Puft Man. You will get Viggo the Carpathian. You know, like, they're all there. If you want to see, like, you know, Aykroyd and Ramis's writing on display for the cast, go watch like compilations of best scenes on YouTube. That's all I can say. I think here's sincerely, I this is what it comes down to. I think the gameplay in this is so rough that it's not worth the investment. I think the Diet Gears of War gameplay and how frustrating fights can be take away from the fun of watching the cast, because you have to get through these terrible combat scenarios to get to the next great cutscene with the cast. So watch this on YouTube or just watch the movies for the cast. I can't recommend playing this personally. But Josh, what about you?
I say play it. I think this is just a fun, enjoyable. It's one of the better video game movie adaptation pieces that you're going to see in video games. I it's really hard to replicate a movie into a video game. And we've seen it numerous times, and we've seen how many times it has failed, to the fact that they got so close to making something really good. You know, this is a good game. I wouldn't say it's a really good game, but I think there's a lot of good pieces in here that, if you are interested in anything Ghostbusters related, this is something for you. You know, later in the game, you know, we talk about the beginning of it and stuff like that and how it's just a play on the first movie. But later down the road, there's some really good original stories in this game that, you know, maybe just play out for it for a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, play with it for a little bit, get to that part, see what it is, and be like, you know what? That wasn't too bad. It wasn't terrible. I would definitely say play. I will say this is the best Ghostbusters game released.
What other ones are you aware of? Have you tried other Ghostbusters games?
Oh, yeah. I actually have Ghostbusters on the NES, Ghostbusters 2 on the NES, Ghostbusters on the Sega Genesis, Ghostbusters the video game, and Ghostbusters 2016 the game. And that was not good.
What is the gameplay of the earliest titles like? I'm interested in what they were able to do. And what is that 2016 video game you mentioned?
So the early ones are kind of side-scrolling, just basic NES games that are just way too difficult, way too ridiculously difficult to play. The Sega Genesis one is really good. That one is a chibi kind of version of the Ghostbusters, but you would go around, you would upgrade your packs by getting money from collecting ghosts in other levels. And it's more of a platformer than anything. And I think it's really fun. I think it's, you know, maybe during Extra Life I might have you play it because I think you'll enjoy it a little bit. Ghostbusters 2016, from what I remember of it, if I am not mistaken, it is kind of Diablo-ish, like.
What?
Where it's like that isometric top-down, like run around, like beat 'em up almost. And it's not good. But I think you might like it because the composer was Grant Kirkhope.
Like, it takes more than a composer alone to sell me on a game. Did it star the cast of the 2016 film?
No, it was a completely different group of people.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Whatever you think of Ghostbusters 2009, the video game, be sure to let us know. Hit us up on our social media or comment or review wherever you are listening to this episode.
But until next time, this has been Josh.
And I'm Tom.
And we will see you in the future. While we boot up the Triflex Capacitor, please take some time to subscribe to the show and leave us a review wherever you listen. The show is nothing without you, and any support helps.
If you want to connect with us and discuss the past, present, and future of gaming, please follow us on Twitter and Facebook.
We also have a Twitch channel where we play games for the show and for fun, so come chat with us anytime.
Thanks again for listening.
And we'll see you in the future.